Lisa Davis, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Joining us today are two amazing women who are educating women worldwide about having your best birth, Abby Epstein and Ricky Lake. Abby is a filmmaker and author. Ricky Lake is a film and television star, talk show host, and executive producer of The Business of Being Born. Abby and Ricky, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I am so thrilled. I absolutely loved your movie. I was riveted. I was glued to the screen. I thought it was so incredible, and it was such an amazing thing that you did. And I'd love to start by talking about the way the movie opened. You know, there's a midwife getting ready to go to a home birth, and it cuts to women being asked different questions than men. Would you ever consider using a midwife? And I was really shocked by one of the answers, and one man said that when he thought of using a midwife, he pictured a woman giving birth in a barn somewhere. Were you surprised by some of the responses? Ricky, if you could say, and then Abby?
Yeah, and I actually remember, being in the park shooting all that, and we happened upon these really, really conservative Upper East Side moms, and it was shocking to me what people, you know, their definition of a midwife. And even today, with the film, you know, kind of getting out there the last couple of years, it seems like people are still so uninformed about the options that they have and the midwifery model of care and what exactly it is.
Yeah, exactly. And Abby, how about for you?
Oh, and by the way, I was one of those people.
Oh, I was going to add, yes, I read that.
I really was. I mean, even when Ricky told me that, you know, she was having her kids with midwives, I was like, what? Why would you do that? Oh, my God. You know, they're not going to know how to, like, stitch you up if you tear. You know, I just thought.
And I think that's why your movie is so important, because you need to educate yourselves and learn to deal with it in a healthy way.
Yeah, I mean, I was the opposite, and I was excited. I wasn't scared at all.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was a matter of I happened upon, you know, when I was planning to start a family, I happened upon meeting a friend of a friend who had an amazing natural birth experience with a midwife in a birth center, and she told me her story. And that was what made me not only, you know, not be afraid, but I wanted that experience.
Oh, that's wonderful. And when I found out about water birth, I thought that was beautiful. And I know that that was a wonderful idea. And you did that in the film, and I thought that was so beautiful. How intense was that to have that in the film?
It was the best experience. I look back on that day, and whether it became a part of a film or anything, just as my life experience.
Of course.
Of giving birth, I was a big follower of Michel Odant. I'd see him speak at a number of conferences. I'd met him. I mean, I was really starstruck by him and what he shared about water birth. And I was just, you know, it was something, it was really important to me. And in fact, during my birth, you know, the baby was coming so quickly towards the end, and my midwife said, if you want a water birth, you better get your butt right now. I leaped, my 200-pound body leaped off that bed so fast because I really wanted to experience that and to have that, you know, gentle transition for my baby. And it was incredible. And the fact that, you know, we used it in the film, Abby, you know, that was up to Abby. And, you know, it was something I was conflicted on just because I was afraid I was going to take a lot of heat from, you know, just people thinking I was using the experience, you know. It's obviously just the most sacred moment in my life.
Of course.
But ultimately, it was it's a moment that I'm glad I shared with everyone.
Oh, it was very powerful, and I think it's what it's going to do is inspire a lot of people to check out that option. And it's such a wonderful way for a baby to come into the world.
And Luana, the African American woman who gives birth, she's the first birth in the film that she gives birth in water, and it looks like her baby just falls out.
Oh, completely. I know. Yeah, I was.
Abby, that was the first birth you witnessed, right? That you shot?
Right. That was the first birth I ever saw.
Wow, and how did that feel for you?
You know, it was interesting because I was really excited, you know, to make the movie, but then it kind of dawned on you, oh, wait a minute, I have to, like, attend all these births. Wait a minute, I actually have to be there. You know, I was scared. I was scared because my perception of birth was this sort of, you know, medical crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very nervous, like, oh, I'm going to pass out, or it's going to be just awful, or this woman's going to be just screaming in pain. And I mean, it was the opposite. It couldn't have been further from the truth. It was the most blissful spiritual experience. It was really life-changing to see somebody being born in that way, and just to have the sunrise and ordered in breakfast with the family, and we all ate pancakes together and like cooed over this little baby, and I, you know, it just stayed with me for weeks, that energy.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's the kind of, that's why, again, I keep emphasizing in the film that I was not familiar with, and one which I, you know, was such a surprise to me, and I'm sure to others, was in negative ads in the early 1900s with photos of midwives as being dirty as a way to get women away from home births and into hospitals. And I was just, again, stunned. I had no idea this was going on.
Yeah. Well, that was also, I mean, it's funny because when we did a screening for Grand Rounds at one hospital, and the obstetricians were so upset, and they were like, oh, that smear campaign, you know?
Like, yeah.
I can't believe you put that in the film, and this is slander against OBs, and gets so defensive, and it's just like, it's really, you know, we're not trying to, you know, make it like this black and white thing where OBs are evil and midwives are good. You know, obviously, I just used an OB for my birth 3 weeks ago. I mean, there's fantastic OBs out there.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a part of history, you know, and a lot of it just has to do with sexual politics, and people have prejudice against, you know, immigrants and women working in the health professional field, and, you know, the midwives were driven out.
Still are
being driven out to this day.
Yeah, well, I thought it was so good to bring that into the film.
There are some major, major issues going on in this country right now with midwives, particularly in Ventura County, outside of where I live in Los Angeles. Midwives have been banned from delivering at, I can't remember the name of the hospital.
Really?
But there's been some major, like, rallying and press coverage, and it seems to, it has to do more with one particular obstetrician who backs up midwives than anything else. And it's all political, and, you know, the people that are losing out are these, the patients, the consumer, you know, and I really see having these choices, having the information, having, you know, informed consent, this is a woman's reproductive right to have access to the care provider that she chooses, that is licensed, and the fact that these insurance companies are mandating who can treat you. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And, you know, we really are advocating choice. And,
yeah. No, definitely. No, that's terrible. And, you know, that's one thing that I loved about the book, In Your Best Birth, is that, you know, you talk about, it's not, you know, you mentioned that if you're going to have a baby in a hospital, or, like, what's the best way to have your best birth, no matter what you choose? And I think that choice is what's so important. And
it's really written for the people who are going to give birth in a hospital, because, really, let's face it, that's 99% of the population in this country.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's stuff that women need to know, whether they, you know, are influenced by my experience or Abby's experience, they should have access to the correct information.
Yeah, they definitely should. Now, Abby, how was your, you just had a baby 3 weeks ago, and how was your experience?
I was really fortunate. I was able to have a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after cesarean, because I did have to have a cesarean with my first son. And, you know, I chose consciously to deliver in a hospital with my obstetrician because I had some risk factors that needed to be monitored more closely, you know, during the pregnancy. And I really, you know, it was an incredible experience. It was a tough birth. It definitely wasn't like the first birth that we show in the film.
Where the baby just woo!
It wasn't like a serene, you know, second child water birth. You know, worked very, very hard to push him out. But I think that the most important thing, if you are looking for something like a VBAC, you know, something that the system now sees as sort of risky, and a lot of hospitals are not even allowing VBACs anymore.
Oh.
You know, it's crucially, crucially, crucially important to find a midwife or an OB, you know, or a hospital even that's really going to support this choice. Because I could tell you right now, mine would not have happened. you know,
if
my obstetrician was not completely committed to me having this experience.
Earlier, Abby, you had mentioned a doula and a midwife and people not knowing. Can you tell us what the difference is for people who aren't sure?
Oh, yeah. Well, a doula is basically somebody who is trained for labor support.
Okay.
So they don't have medical training. They are really, really trained in helping you manage, and you and your partner get through labor. And a midwife is somebody who has pretty much the same skills as an obstetrician, except for that they don't do cesarean sections.
Oh, okay.
So they've gone through medical training. They've gone through, you know, a couple years of midwifery school and, you know, intense training. And these are medically trained professionals, midwives, that are trained to do vaginal births.
I see. You know, one of the things that I loved about the book, too, that I wish was here in America is you have this great description, and I'm sure I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but in the in chapter one of the book, you talk about this street in Amsterdam, and it's called, let's see, Gennesstraat, and it says the birthing block, a street completely devoted to pregnancy and babies. A midwife practice has offices there along with acupuncturists who specialize in discomforts of pregnancy, one of the state-run well child clinics, and a daycare center. Gennesstraat also has a children's shop devoted to pregnancy, birth, and babies with a cafe that caters to moms and offers a special play area for children. That sounds like a dream. That would be so wonderful. What an amazing,
yeah.
And I read that and thought, wow, I want to go there.
I know. The culture is all, you know, about trusting a woman's body and honoring the birth process as something that can be done out of a hospital. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's 30% of births are planned home births there.
Wow. I love the way you said that about trusting a woman's body. That's the problem here in this culture. You know, you put them, I mean, when you're sitting in that, laying down in the position, that's not a good position to be having a baby. And the other thing, the other thing that I love about the movie, going back to that, is that vicious cycle of the Pitocin, which I didn't know about, that they give the Pitocin, it slows the labor.
And one of the things, I mean, back to Michelle O'Donnell, who I think is so wise and says things, even though his accent is sometimes hard to understand, I saw him speak about, months ago, and he said something that was so simple to me, you know, because a lot of times, especially you go to the hospital, you're in active labor, and your labor slows down, and they want to speed it up and start that cascade of intervention. He was explaining that the oxytocin, that is the natural hormone that gets your labor going and gets that baby out and your cervix to open, you cannot produce oxytocin and adrenaline at the same time. It's either one or the other.
Uh-huh.
You produce adrenaline, your oxytocin level goes down. So naturally, if you're going to be going into an environment you're not comfortable, you're in a hospital, which is a place for sick people, that's where people die, there's people you don't know in lab coats, and they're probing you and asking you questions, naturally your adrenaline level is going to go up, which means that, of course, your labor is going to slow down, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. So that in itself just clicked for me. It's like, oh, you know, that's obvious, of course. And so if you're in a home environment and you do trust your body and you trust your care provider and you feel safe, you know, then your labor is going to, nothing's going to stop that labor if it's your, you know. It just made sense to me, and I think it's something we just need to consider, you know. And maybe for a lot of women, they feel safer in that hospital just in case, and that's their prerogative. But for me, personally, I felt safer at home.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. And I think, again, I've loved, and I can't, the gentleman that you're referring to that from the movie, I thought he was wonderful. And I think...
Yeah, he said some pretty provocative things.
He sure did. Said, and there was a lot of things by OBs that were actually, you know, very supportive of what you were doing, which I thought was great as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had to, you know, interview everybody. Abby found, you know, so many different, you know, opinions on this subject matter.
Yeah. No, it's just so important, because I just think, again, that we've got to take away the fear and let, you know, women know that they can trust their bodies, that this is what our bodies are meant to do. And it's watching those births was so beautiful. I wish I had seen it before I had, you know, I had my daughter.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
You know, an older woman, and she said when she was like 17, she saw some kind of movie that was had a really terrifying birth in it, and she never had children.
Oh.
It was such a powerful, you know, it was such a scary, scary video. and she was growing up in sort of a Eastern European country where they didn't have epidurals, you know, they didn't have any options for pain management, and she just was terrified at 17 years old by this image of childbirth.
Oh my gosh.
Never had children.
Oh, that is so sad.
That's how powerful the fear is.
So important to, again, get people to understand. You know, I've been a health educator for 20 plus years. I used to be a sex educator, and I've worked at women's clinics, and I'm just such a woman-centered woman, and I'm just so thrilled. This is such an honor to be speaking with two amazing women like yourselves. I really am so happy that you came on, and I wanted to talk a little bit about C-sections, and I know that the C-section rate goes up because of the Pitocin and the interventions, because it slows everything down, and also about a lot of people getting planned C-sections.
C-section rate is still very much on the rise, and, you know, I think elective C-sections are not as popular as we think they are, you know, or that the media plays into. I mean, I really think that's like a novelty, and, you know, but you certainly any intervention, and in any cases unnecessary intervention can lead to an unwanted C-section. And what women need to know is that when they get that first C-section, for whatever reason, chances are they will have to have a subsequent C-section because the hospitals aren't doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance companies are mandating that that doctors can't perform them because they're saying they're risky, which they're not actually. I believe an amniocentesis is, I can't remember exactly the statistic, but many, many times greater a risk than a vaginal birth after cesarean.
I think, and I also think the other thing is that, you know, Ricky and I, again, like, we fully support women's choices.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be women that do have a very deep fear of childbirth or whatever their reasons are, you know, if they choose to have a scheduled cesarean, you know, you have to support all women's choices when women are informed and saying, you know, that I'm making a decision that I think is best for me. You know, we are not anti-C-section. As you know, I also had a C-section for my first birth.
Yes.
I was very thankful and appreciative, you know, that the surgeon was there because I really needed one. I think the problem is you take something like a cesarean and really that is going to benefit the babies and mothers who really need it. So, you know, if there's a risk, if there's a complication, you know, that type of birth is going to be safer than a vaginal birth for certain moms and babies.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is, you know, with these numbers creeping up to 40% in hospitals, you're certainly now subjecting a lot of women to major abdominal surgery, and so the risks start to outweigh the benefits when you just are performing C-sections on
And hearing these positive stories, whatever the story is, are really important for women who are pregnant to hear. You know, you hear, if you feel like you hear the horror story when you're pregnant, and it's really about hearing the good ones, because there's so many amazing, amazing birth stories that have so much more to talk about besides just, you know, the healthy, perfect baby and a healthy mom. You know, it's this empowerment issue, and just women, you know, loving their bodies and seeing what their bodies can do. I mean, it's really powerful, and it stays with you.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, we just have a few minutes left. I'm just wondering if there's anything for women who are listening, or men as well, what would you, you know, what are tips if they're pregnant and they're feeling fear? What are some things that they can do?
Well, I think fear, first of all, a little bit of fear is natural and healthy.
Of course.
So, you shouldn't go into this, like, completely blasé. I mean, you know, there's definitely, it's okay, it's natural, you know, and I think there's fantastic, like we talk about in Your Best Birth, you know, there's some great childbirth preparation, birthing from within, you know, hypnobirth.
Yeah, I did the hypnobirth thing, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I know Birthing from Within is a fabulous book. And
yeah, okay, I'm a...
It really teaches you how to embrace that fear. We talk a lot in our book about the work of Penny Simpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And Penny Simpkin also is wonderful and writes about fear and pain scales. And, you know, I think just embracing the fear and acknowledging that you're fearful and just, as with anything in life, you know, looking for techniques and books.
And Ina May, I want to give Ina May Gaskin a shout out too, because
she was
inspirational to me. She's a pioneer midwife, and she wrote the book Spiritual Midwifery, and she has Ina May's Guide to Breastfeeding and Guide to Childbirth.
Oh, great.
And those are amazing, amazing resources, and just she's an incredibly wise woman, and I think doing research on her can be very helpful to any pregnant, you know, mom to be.
Oh, that's great. And again, everyone should go out and get your book, Your Best Birth, and watch your amazing film, The Business of Being. Tell me about the social network that's been created from the amazing work that you've done.
Well, what happened basically is, you know, after the film came out, Ricky and I were going around the country and attending all these screenings. And after the movie, women had very basic questions, just, you know, something like, well, what is the difference between a midwife and a doula?
Mm-hmm.
And we realized, you know, how much more education was needed. So that's why we wrote Your Best Birth. And then we started a website called mybestbirth.com. And mybestbirth.com has become this really incredible social community for parents who are either trying to conceive or pregnant or recently, you know, given birth and are just looking for more options, more holistic options.
And lastly, how did you two hook up?
Well, sort of ironic. We worked together on the Vagina Monologues.
Oh, cool.
Abby directed me off Broadway, and we became friends, and this was right around the time I was planning to have get pregnant with my second son, and, you know, it was just one of those friendships. We stayed in touch years later, and,
oh, that's awesome.
You know, I had that birth experience, and then Abby was visiting me in L.A., and I was showing her my new life out here, and she came over, and I said, you know, I have this idea, and what do you think? And here's these books, and I gave her Ina May's book, and I gave her Robbie Davis Floyd's book, Birth as an American Rite of Passage, and I gave her my birth video, and I was like, what do you think? And she's like, I think we have a documentary. I think we, you know, and that's how it started, and it took a lot. It was a labor of love in so many ways, 3.5 years, and, you know, just Abby getting pregnant with her first baby during the course of the film and having the experience she had. I mean, all of it was so fortuitous for the film and for the movement, you know, and we love what we do. It's been hard. But it's just, we are so connected, she and I, and committed to you know, getting the word out to inform the consumer about the choices they have in this, in, you know, most important time in your life.
How can people get in touch with you and find out more?
We have this new website. We started it last May, called mybestbirth.com, and it's a fantastic community. You can get in touch with, you know, Ricky and I personally on the site. We've got celebrity birth stories that we feature. We've got amazing forums and experts that, you know, write in on different topics. And we just have a wonderful community on there.
I want to thank Abby and Ricky again.